Good evening and welcome to Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. We're going to talk about New York University, which, despite its wealth, treats its adjunct professors very, very poorly. The Columbia teaching assistants and research assistants, they're already on strike despite the wealth of Columbia. We've got some of those in the studio as well. So from Columbia we have. Columbia, tell me who you are.
Well, actually, I'm going to tell you who they are.
You tell me
who
they are.
We have Shannon Clark, who is a Columbia graduate instructor, and Felicity Palmer, also from Columbia, and they bear the scars today of the picket line, which are very red faces from being out in the sun all day. And we have Kate Fallon and Ward Regan, who are both NYU adjuncts. And what in the world is going on in our institutions of higher learning that drive those very people who do the instruction out onto the picket line? And we'll start with Columbia, since you folks already have been forced to that point. What in the world is going on at Columbia that you have had to strike?
We want justice. We want our union. We've been organizing for the last 2.5, 3 years. We've really pretty much tried everything. We had an NLRB-sponsored election. Columbia took that election to appeal, and the ballots from that election were never counted. We've had rallies. We've had demonstrations. And the university has been entirely unresponsive up to this point. So we feel like at this point it's time to take to the streets. It's time to strike.
Shannon?
They've been thwarting our efforts to achieve union recognition through a democratic process for the last 3 years, as my colleague Felicity mentioned.
Well, what does that mean?
They would recognize a union and enter into good faith negotiation with us towards a contract covering the conditions and terms of our employment.
How have they done that? You had a vote, so how has it been?
Even before that,
years?
When we first tried to even file cards with the National Labor Relations Board in 2001 to have an election, the legal precedent stating that we were in fact employees under the act was very clear. The university nonetheless sought to try to relitigate the interpretation of the National Labor Relations Act and drug us into 8 months of really wasteful kinds of hearings before the National Labor Relations Board. We finally received a direction for election and had a National Labor Relations Board certification election, which should be legally binding. That election was in March of 2002, and those ballots have been impounded for the last 2 years as a result of Columbia's legal intransigence. I mean, they're basically what you have is a supposedly liberal institution trying to get into bed with the most right-wing reactionary labor board that we've had in Washington, D.C. since the creation of the National Labor Relations Board back in the 1930s. I mean, it's evidence of the continuing corporatization of the academy.
I think that's a good point. You know, at NYU, a lot of people went to
and
work.
And we're listening to Ward Regan from NYU.
A lot of people went to work at what they thought was a university and woke up to find it was a giant company.
Yeah.
And, you know, workers organizing at universities are realizing that they need to do the same things that their counterparts used to do in the corporate world, in the private world. And that's a lot of what's driving this, because it's not just grad students, it's also us adjuncts. And you got to remember, the grad student of today is likely the adjunct of tomorrow.
Or has already been the adjunct and grad instructor, both.
So let me just ask you, just to talk about the strike, because this is the first day of the strike at Columbia. Did you get a good response? How are the picket lines? Are the students supporting you or faculty? Just bring us up to date on what happened today on the strike.
We've had a marvelous response, actually, from our undergraduate students, from faculty, and of course, most importantly, from the striking graduate students themselves. And we had a fantastic day today. As you can see, we're both a little tanned, and we're going to be getting more tanned because this is an indefinite strike, and we're going to be out there every day. We're picketing every morning from 8:30 a.m. till 1 p.m. And today we were able to, in fact, go onto campus. We rallied very close to Low Library, which some of you may know is the administrative headquarters of Columbia University. And so we hoped that our voices were heard by some of the members of the administration inside the Low Library. And then we were able to do some drumming and some fantastic chanting on campus and on the picket line itself. We had many faculty members approaching the pickets and shaking our hands, showing their support. And some of us, including myself and Shannon, are instructors of undergraduate students, which means that we teach a standalone course of our own. And some of our students came up and joined the picket and showed us their support through that as well.
Well, actually, Felicity, the only thing I disagree with, you're not tan, you're both cherry red. But, yes. And I hope it doesn't work its way up to a tan, meaning that you're out on the picket line too long and it has a chance to deepen.
It's appropriate they're red, though.
Yes.
Indeed.
Better red than
but
red.
I want to roll the camera back because I'm sure there are a lot of people say, wait a minute, adjuncts. Graduate students, why in the world do you even have the right to consider yourselves employees and to unionize your fundamentally? Well, let me finish. Because there are a lot of people who understand very little about the functions that are performed and certainly don't understand it in the capacity of workers. So I was hoping you could tell our listeners who might want to know that why in the world you are considered employees and why you've unionized. Go.
Why? Because we work, because we perform innumerable valuable services that enable the university to function. At Columbia University, for example, graduate instructors like Felicity and myself teach over half of the courses in Columbia's vaunted core curriculum. And take my students, for example. They've had me for two semesters of contemporary civilization, which is supposedly the signature course of a Columbia undergraduate education. They've had a graduate instructor for one semester worth of their freshman writing. There's a 60% chance that for two semesters of literature humanities they had a graduate instructor, a 75% chance that they did for art and music humanities. If they've taken classes in the languages, they'd have probably had a graduate student as their instructor, even in the large lecture classes that are taught by, you know, star faculty lecturers. You know, that star faculty person probably doesn't know the student from a hot rock, whereas, you know, the only person who knows who that student is the TA who grades their work. In the labs, you know, research assistants,
they perform the kind of research that makes Columbia a lot of money often, in fact.
Right. I mean, Columbia University has earned over $170 million in intellectual property rights and royalties from its research discoveries in fiscal year 2002 alone. And graduate students are responsible for most of the intellectual work that went into those discoveries. And that's the university's property. They make money on it.
I think it speaks to a larger issue in terms of the entire structure of academic hiring.
And we're listening to Kate Fallon, who is from the NYU adjuncts.
So in terms of that, I believe that over the course of the last 15 to 20 years, universities have found a way to increase their profit margin by hiring adjunct faculty and graduate students to teach courses, and therefore they've shrunk their tenure payrolls. They're hiring on people as adjuncts or graduate students paying very small wages, considering that they don't have benefits, that they don't deserve or earn benefits. And what it's done is the university has made a tremendous amount of money off the backs of the adjunct faculty. At NYU, the graduate students, like the people from Columbia here, organized 2 or 3 years ago with the UAW, and they had a very successful organization drive. They have a very successful contract. And I think at the point where the adjuncts saw how the university could respond, I think that the adjuncts said, well, wait a minute, I'm a faculty member. And if you're willing to do it for the grad students, you should do it for the faculty.
I mean, it's important to remember that the adjunct teaching world has evolved considerably over the past 20 years. In the early 1980s, adjuncts made up a very small number of people teaching on campuses all across this country. Now, in the most recent surveys, it shows that they teach over 50%, somewhere between 50 and 55% of all college classes in this country are taught by adjunct laborers who, in the most cases, make less than 50% of their full-time counterparts. In many instances, they have no benefits, no pension, no health care, no offices, no job security. And the university woke up to find themselves with all these cheap laborers who they could begin to infuse into all the different departments of the university, whereas initially they were meant to be like replacement workers for people who were leaving. And you might be an adjunct for a couple of years between grad school and when you got a full-time job. But the economics of the university in corporate America in the 80s and 90s has driven them to take us, adjuncts, and also graduate students, to do the bulk of some of the most important teaching. While the universities love to talk about their academic stars, those aren't the guys teaching Composition 101. They aren't teaching freshman English. They aren't teaching freshman surveys in history and philosophy and biology or in, you know, all the main courses that students have to take to get up to the level of then having these star professors. And this isn't to say that these star professors aren't good, but what we're talking about is the majority of teaching is now being done by, you know, academic sweatshop workers is kind of what it comes down to.
So now that we've basically established why the adjuncts and the teaching assistants and the research assistants, why it's a greater proportion, and we also established that you should have a right to organize, what are your complaints? Let's start with Columbia. What do you want once you've got a union?
We want a wage that you can live on in New York City. We want better health care. We want possibly, you know, child care subsidies for a lot of graduate employees who have children.
Yeah, and in addition to that, one of the things that we're also interested in, of course, is actually being able to find out from graduate students themselves what they want. So part of the wonderful thing about being in a union is that there are actually stewards and there's an actual structure where the actual desires of graduate students, what they're most interested in terms of their working conditions and healthcare coverage, benefits, etc., we can actually find out and then bring to the university, to the table, a negotiating position rather than at the situation at the moment where the university unilaterally decides for us what our stipend will be, how much they're willing to cover us for our health care. So that issue of actually knowing what graduate students want and in fact being able to share some power or have some negotiating power with the university is also important. I personally, you know, would like to have an office.
Kate Fallon, in terms of NYU, you have alleged that there are multiple unfair labor practices. Maybe you and Regan can Ward can relate to us what they have been within this period of time that you have been attempting to organize.
I think one of the main things to talk about in terms of the unfair labor charges that we filed against the university is the fact that they've now taken to restructuring positions and reclassifying people so that somebody who was an adjunct last year taught four courses. This year is being offered a position as, quote, full-time. They teach the same four courses. They are now given a small health benefit. At NYU, they're not even given offices in most cases. They're doing exactly the same work under a different title with a different pay scale.
The looming strike at NYU is also not just about our wages and benefits. It has a lot to do with these unfair labor practices, which is a legal technical term, which means that the university has not lived up to its legal responsibilities in negotiations. As a very easy for instance, they are required to tell the union how many people work, how much they get paid, what their names are, and so on and so forth. This is now the third week of April, right? We have yet to find out from the university what adjuncts are teaching this semester. We don't even really have an accurate list for how many people taught last semester. They are still giving us corrections on the year before. It isn't just about wages. It also has to do with the way the university behaves as a corporate or a legal institution. They must be held accountable for their actions to the legal standards that govern workers' rights in this country.
So, Kate, has there been any progress at all? Has NYU responded in any kind of meaningful way?
I don't have a firm answer for you on that one. I know we had several mediation sessions over the weekend. We have one scheduled tonight. Our goal as the adjuncts is to have this settled. We're not interested in actually having a strike. We're taking that as a final measure to actually push through the agenda.
I mean, NYU has a bad record here in responding to labor negotiations. They really seem to need to be pushed till they get serious. The same thing happened with the grad students about 2 years ago. The same thing has happened with the clerical union has struck twice in 18 years. And they've always gotten these responses only after they've threatened a strike.
In terms of Columbia, now I know that both Shannon and Felicity have addressed the support that they got today on campus. But to what extent do the students really engage you in this? To what extent do they really have a fundamental understanding of how critical it is for them to be part of the process of the unionization and the contracting, a good, decent contract for the people who work at all levels, certainly within this academic structure. And we should say that when we mentioned the UAW before, we were talking about the United Automobile Workers, who are behind both of these efforts. So where are the students at? I'm sure they take flyers and...
The students we teach, you remember, are undergraduates?
No, I'm not talking about the... I'm talking about the students at Columbia University. Do they understand the issues and do they have a consciousness about support of unionization and contract rights for workers?
Well, I've been very impressed, actually, with the quality of the response of undergraduate students, not only sort of one-on-one with the students who I teach, but in general. The Columbia Spectator, for example, which is the main undergraduate student daily newspaper, has been very supportive in recent days, particularly with an editorial that they wrote where they endorsed our strike. They said that not only did we have a right to have a union, but we were actually in the right in our decision to strike. So they really kind of set it out to their peers, the editors of the Columbia Spectator. And in general on campus, there are many undergraduate students who recognize their need to support labor issues in general, and many of the same students who have been involved in anti-sweatshop campaigns in terms of the production of Columbia sweatshirts that are, you know, sold in the Columbia bookstore. There was a large campaign on that issue, and many of those same students are, you know, really recognize that our issue, while quite different from that, that they still see that this is an issue of supporting labor rights in the academy. And some undergraduates, you know, see themselves as future graduate students, future academics, just as we graduate students see ourselves as potentially future adjunct professors. And this is something that is really part of a real general movement in the academy, which, you know, long overdue in many ways, to reform the kinds of hiring and firing practices that Warren was just referring to earlier.
And Kate, on NYU. At NYU, how are the students of the student newspaper, how have the students been over there in terms of support, and also the faculty? You're going to need both.
In terms of the students, we've had a tremendous response. Last fall, we did a few we did leafleting on campus for Parents' Day. We had a tremendous number of students who came out. We had a tremendous number of parents who responded really positively. So on that level, this year is kind of formed into two groups. One is called the SAS Squad, which is the Student Adjunct Solidarity Squad. And the other is called the NYU Adjunct Fan Club, which is www.nyuadjunctfanclub.org.
Do that again, please. We were laughing, so people don't want to hear it.
It's www.nyuadjunctfanclub.org.
Now,
Adjunct Fan Club.
At least we forget the cultural component of strikes. Today, I'm also interested in whether or not Shannon and whether Felicity, there were members of the community who saw the picket line and understood and had some empathy in what you were doing to rally the troops up to break the back of a recalcitrant administration who long ago should have made sure that those votes were, well, at least 2 years ago, that those votes counted for what they were intended to be. So how did the community respond, and what did you do to kind of rally the forces on the picket line?
Well, the community's, I mean, already been supportive, and then we've also lined up a lot of political support, including from David Patterson, who's Democratic Party leader of the New York State Senate. He, in fact, supervised a recent counting of authorization cards to verify that there was, in fact, a majority of the working graduate employees at Columbia who wanted a union. But people in the community, just in general, in Morningside Heights, have been very supportive.
And how many votes? I mean, what were the results? That's a recent election.
Well, it wasn't an election. Yeah. It was a card, something different, a counting of authorization cards. It was a strong majority.
By the way, since you mentioned the cards, I'm not sure everybody understands the significance of this in terms of unionization and the card count. Why don't you just give
us
a
primer on that? Well, the card is essentially, it's you're joining the union when you sign an authorization card. It's a card that states that you want to have a union and that you want to have this particular, you know, organization. In our case, it's Local 2110 UAW represent you for purposes of collective bargaining.
and the significance of these campaigns? Because it's interesting. You mentioned the young people who work around the sweated labor in the maquilas and places like that, and yet there was a tenuousness in your voice about how well they were able to understand the issues of unionization here, how well they understood, of course, blue-collar sweated labor as well.
I think, you know, many Americans in general have a hard time understanding unionization at this point. We only have 11% of the United States workforce unionized, down from a height of about 36% in the mid-50s. Unions have gotten, in the public press, a very bad rep, much like feminism lately. And so Americans don't like to see themselves as workers because that's therefore somehow socially undesirable. And it's a particularly tough hurdle to get over in the academic world where people think of themselves as very well-trained professionals. But when you're working as an adjunct or you're working as a grad student, you are like a temporary worker that gets paid by the hour. And so in some respects, it's been difficult to get people over that hurdle and to get the larger community to understand the real purpose, the real servicing of a democracy that unions serve. They give a voice to people who would otherwise be voiceless. And the UAW has a particularly long history in doing that sort of thing. You know, the name of the union is the United Auto Workers, but we also have lawyers, and we have doctors, and we have people who work at MoMA, and we have clerical workers. We have a whole range of people, so that there's a whole new group of people entering the labor world because of the changing economics and the global economy.
Can I just add to that on the issue of community support, but also the link with, you know, other kinds of union activity or labor activism? Certainly at Columbia, the local that we want to affiliate with is Local 2110, which already represents on our campus the clerical staff of the university, the support staff. And they were out in force today helping us in our rally, and they really came in and were just so supportive, and we're so thankful for their support. And they really see, you know, what really inspires me is that they really see the issue, and they don't see us as somehow, you know, ivory tower, Ivy League. They recognize that we have a right to organize, and they recognize that, like Warren said, we're performing labor, and we're performing labor kind of on the cheap, you know? And that's why one of our slogans that we chanted today was, of course, union power in the ivory tower.
That's great. We're going to go out with a little bit more of a kind of round robin on that one. But as we do wind up this segment, the most important thing is how can people get in touch with you and how can they demonstrate their support? Because our listeners take these issues very, very seriously. Shannon, how can people either join the picket line or go to a website? How can they demonstrate their concern? Well, or Felicity, who's writing you the note as we speak.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Okay. We have a website. It's www.2110uaw.org. So 2110uaw.org. /GSEU, G-S-E-U, which stands for Graduate Student Employees United. Every day we're going to be picketing at the 116th Street gates at Broadway at Columbia, and that picketing takes place from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. every day. We'd love to see supportive members of the community drop by, join in.
And bring a drum.
Bring a drum. Bring some music makers. We've been making a lot of music today. And it's been beautiful.
Supposing we want to say something to the university administration. Any place we can call or write?
Write to Lee Bollinger, who's president of the university.
There's many things I've wanted to tell Lee Bollinger over
This is another opportunity.
And so we write to Lee Bollinger, and we're not quite sure of the address? Well, I thought Felicity was going to write another note there. Well, I'll tell you what. You go to their website, and I would hope that on the website that they would have that information because, again, this is something we all take very seriously.
Or use the telephone book, call them up, and ask for the address.
Thank you. I knew you were a librarian.
Or a reference librarian, yeah.
And in terms of NYU, who we hope won't be on strike,
yeah, we hope
but to make
that.
Sure that they're not, or if they are, to support them, what do we do?
Well, you can check out our website, which is NYUACTUAW.org. And barring having a good memory for abstract numbers, you can do a Google search for the adjunct union at NYU. And I have to require here to give a shout out to my students because I promised I would.
Well,
they've been so supportive. So
do
shout
it.
Out to my students.
Well, how about, is there any good chant that we can all pick up to get a flavor of what it's like to join our sisters and brothers on the Columbia picket line? What's that chant again?
Union power in the ivory tower.
Okay, wait. All right. Let's get this down here.
Right.
One.
It's been a long day.
One, two, three.
Union power in the ivory tower.
Okay.
There we go. All right.
Well,
okay, is that one you'll consider for Wednesday if you go on?
I think that's a good one since we haven't had time to organize chants yet.
Right,
we're still working on signs. Yeah.
Well, that's why we build bridges here.
That's great.
Well, Shannon Clark, Felicity Palmer, Kate Fallon, Ward Regan, we'd like to thank you all. We hope that the Columbia strike is a short one because you should be where you do the most good, which is in the classrooms doing the incredible, important work that you do. And our sisters and brothers from NYU, we similarly hope that you folks are not out there. I'm also a UAW member. I'm glad that the organization is happening. Workers need good contracts, and we need to build the union movement.
And you have to teach the administration a lesson because you're the teachers and they're just administration.
And hopefully I'll take our example seriously, and you should think about unionizing yourself. It's a great way to go. In union, there is power.
On April 21st, the New York University Adjuncts Union reached a proposed contract settlement with New York University, averting a strike. The terms of that agreement have so far not been released. Columbia University's graduate employees are still on strike as of April 25th. We wish them well. This has been a Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report National Edition with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.